All right. Thanks, everybody, for waiting. Call to order the December meeting of the Writers Advisory Council. Start off with the public comment period. Is there anyone available or ready for public comment? Anyone? No? Seeing none? We'll move to approval of the agendas. Are there any objections to approval of the agenda? Nope. If not, we'll do that by unanimous consent. Thank you. Okay. So first up is the 2013 recap. So we do this every year. We sort of look back at what we've done and try to figure out what we accomplished, what we didn't accomplish, and then look a little bit ahead into the future and try to set some goals for ourselves for the next year. So in preparation for this, I just looked at all of my monthly reports to the board, the written reports, to sort of go back and try and figure out what we did. And I came up with, I would say, a pretty good list of accomplishments, I would say. You know, sometimes when you meet on a monthly basis like this, it doesn't seem like you're going anywhere week by week or month by month. But if you look at it year by year, it does actually add up to something. So some of the things we accomplished this year, we delivered the Airport Access Working Group report, which was very well received by the board and Metro staff, and I think did have an impact ultimately into how some of the planning for the Silver Line services went, and also how some of the bus changes for the 5A were approached by Metro, eventually, you know, leaving the 5A intact. I think that working group report had something to do with that. And I think in general it also sort of created a sense that the RAC was involved in something a little more concrete than it had been, that it was going to sit there and offer something a little more juicy to the board. So we did that. We recreated the committee system, which had lain fallow for some time, to talk about some of the details of what we talk about in these and just to sort of expand our reach a little more. the board at the beginning of the year had given us a task to look at incident communications when there's some sort of problem. There had been a couple incidents on the Green Line and the Red Line in 2012 that prompted some discussions about how all that worked. So they sent a letter to us, and then we crafted a response back to them, recommending some specific actions. I think we've seen some improvements based on that letter. But there's a lot of inconsistency even now in terms of how Metro approaches a lot of those incidents. And that's something we also dealt with in the pledge, which I'll get to in a second. We received a report or some, you know, a feedback session on emergency signage and sort of preparation for incidents. I think people probably remember when we looked at all of those things, provided some feedback on that. I'm not sure where that's going quite yet. We haven't seen the final product of that. This is for some of the emergency signage on trains. But that's another sort of concrete thing that we offered to Metro this year. We did listening sessions for the first time that I'm aware of, at least, as a way to sort of get direct feedback from riders. We also integrated new public comment procedures this year, where we tried to get more sort of direct rider feedback in the middle of RAC meetings. And then finally, I think our sort of signature accomplishment for the year is that we created this customer commitment, and that's we worked long and hard on that, a good sort of 4 to 5 months from the committee phase. Various working groups were set up to talk about various aspects of that, and I think we came up with a very solid product on that. And when we get to the report from the board meeting that we had, I think you'll see that it's going to influence Metro in a way that we never really thought possible going in, and I think it's going to be very positive. So I think everybody deserves a round of applause for that one. That one, I think it's going to have a real lasting impact on how Metro does business. So that's what I see as sort of our main accomplishments of what we did throughout the year. Some sort of unresolved business that I also saw on the way looking at all of these reports. You know, we did stand up the committees, but they weren't very consistent in terms of what they tackled, membership of the committees, attendance in the committees. So I think that's something that we should work on in the next year. I think those committees are valuable, There's a lot of sort of value added there. But again, sort of creating a more consistent agenda for those meetings, I think, is a good idea. And basically creating, I mean, I think when we started that, we had an idea that there would be a pipeline from the committees to the RAC, that, you know, that the committees would start and be sort of the idea factories, and that they would come up with concrete proposals that then would be dealt with at a higher level here at the RAC by the full body. It hasn't quite worked out that way, in part because of some of the issues we were dealing with, but I think also we like to be involved in the details, and I think people wanted to be involved in the details even here at the full RAC. And I think maybe over time, as the committees solidify a little more, maybe we'll be less inclined to deal with the details and just try to deal with more of the high-level stuff here at the RAC. But again, that's something that's going to be a little more of an evolutionary process, I think. I think one thing that we've struggled with throughout the year is creating, and the way I've written it here, is a reliable, interactive, and timely form of interaction with riders. And I think that's something we've struggled with probably from the RAC's beginning, but especially this year, in terms of trying to find a way where we can channel public opinion, engage public opinion, and sort of probe public opinion at the same time. I think that's one of the main sort of quandaries that the RAC faces. And that's something that I think we can, again, deal with a little bit in the next year. And on the other end, I think we've always struggled to create a meaningful interaction with WMATA staff, one that produces results. I think they come to us, we give them feedback, but we don't always see the follow-on to that feedback. We don't always see it in sort of concrete results. And I think we've struggled with trying to find a way to measure that output over time. And so I think that's something that we could definitely work on in the next year. Holding Metro accountable to riders in some sort of demonstrable way, you know, we can see at least some grain of feedback from Metro in terms of what we offer, but I don't think we've seen the same from riders, so I think that's something that we can work on. Another area, and this is more for the leadership team next year, it would be further defining and, I would say, deepening the relationship between the RAC and the board. I think the board has often kept the RAC at arm's length. I think that changed in this year. I think they brought us a little bit closer in. I think we're leaving it a little better than we inherited it at the beginning of the year. I could be wrong about that. Maybe the board would disagree with me. But I saw progress throughout the year on that front, and I think we can build again on that progress in the coming year. And I think in general, doing a little bit of navel gazing here, I think we can increase the RAC's productivity in the next year. Again, partially by activating the committees, but also in our own interactions on the RAC, just trying to focus more on the productive results rather than on our individual experience. I think the temptation when you get on the RAC is to say, I experience it this way or that way, when we should really be focusing more on riders as a whole. And I hope that will be what we're focusing on a little more in the next year. So anyway, that's my perspective on everything. And now is generally when we sort of open it up to talk a little bit about what people think we should accomplish in the coming year. Where are we now? Where should we be at this time in 2014? So I'll just open it up. Yeah, Lorraine.
I think that we should have that discussion maybe next year, just because we're going to have new members. I don't know what how the appointments are going to be at.
Sure.
So we don't know what the participation is going to be.
Right.
But I do understand that we have some things that we have, they're still up in the air, some issues that we have to discuss. But as far as committee participation, I think it's too early to discuss without knowing who are the people that are coming.
Sure.
I can understand we can discuss the issues, but as far as the participation, the committee participation, that's just...
Yeah. No, I hear you. Patrick?
I have a couple things, and I guess... No. I don't know. I have mechanical problems here. I think a couple things, and I'm sort of speaking from what I saw on my last committee meeting with respect to the AAC. I think that there are a couple things coming up, you know, regardless of who's on the rack, that I think the input's valuable. One is the station of the future, Bethesda. I think making sure that the input that we put into the that station as far as accessibility, convenience, efficiency, effectiveness, I think the rack certainly has a voice in what goes on there. And then something else that I learned at my meeting on Monday is this whole issue with momentum. We got an updated presentation that really focused a lot on accessibility issues. But one of the things I learned was that a lot of the issues that are coming up are, let's say, unfunded or will be funded in the next few years. So I think that it's important for the RAC, whoever is on the RAC, to understand what's happening with momentum to see if they can get some of the issues that are coming up within the next year or two or whatever move from sort of the unfunded to the funded list. I think those two things would be important for whoever sits on the RAC.
Okay. Yeah, good points all. I would add to that list fare increases, which are apparently coming down the pipeline, so we'll definitely have something to say about that. Anyone else? Thoughts on this year or next year? Yeah, Frank.
I think in regard to the committees, you know, I think it was a good first year attempt at them, but I do think that we have to get more serious about formalizing them a little better. I was only on one committee, and it was excellently run by Karen. The meetings were all very, very professional. I don't know how the other committees went, but I'm not sure that everybody. The committee meetings I went to, there were always different people there, and that doesn't lend itself to committee cohesiveness, I think, and consistency, because you figure, well, if other people are going to be there, I could miss this time, you know.
Right.
So I think if there's more of a sense of both commitment, but commitment and responsibility of being on a committee. Right. And I don't know how you implant that, but I do think one thing is that making the committees less fluid might be one way to do it.
Okay. Carol?
Yeah, I want to say that I think that if you recall, even when we at the meeting where we voted to establish this committee system, there were some people who were, I'm looking for a word between reluctant and hesitant, to sign on for an additional meeting that they hadn't been aware of when they were recruited or appointed to the RAC. I think that one of the things that I think the leadership team has done is to work. We've had conversations and discussions with John and Lloyd about the recruitment process. And as a result, if you go online, you'll see that this round of appointments made it clearer what the expectation was in terms of the number of hours spent besides attending meetings. And I'm hoping that that will pay off in what you're talking about more accountability, more responsibility, because I think a lot of the fluidity, if you will, about attendance was due to the fact that we had six people leave during the course of the year, which is almost one-third of the membership and not be replaced. So I think that accounted a lot for some of the issues, but I think that the more stringent requirements for membership and spelling it out hopefully will help that.
All right.
I think when you talked about the fluidity and the inconsistency of attendance, I think some of the contributing factors, in addition to the ones you've already mentioned, were that we only had about half of the meetings, if that. And I think that didn't give an air of consistency itself for people to think that membership or that attendance would be important if we didn't have the meetings regularly. And the intent was not necessarily for the finance group, but the intent was always that they'd be regular, predictable, count on the date, and a long list of accomplishments that we were hoping for. So I think that was another contributor.
Are there any concrete products that we would like to produce in the next year? I mean, if I look at the sort of highlight list, it's those sort of written reports that seem to have the most impact. And I'm wondering if there's something similar, you know, either on the Station of the Future, momentum, rate increases, or something else that we're talking about, where the RAC might add some sort of concrete value added in the coming year. Yeah, Debbie?
I remember someone was talking about having us go through a leadership training. I wonder if I missed it or did anybody attend it. Maybe we want to consider having leadership training for a RAC member who are serious enough to come to the meeting monthly.
Right. Yeah, we are planning on doing a RAC training session for new members and old members who want to join as well, I'd imagine. Yeah, Marianne.
I guess I have three sort of questions. They aren't specifics yet. But I continue to have sort of a tension in my own mind in our role between long-term and short-term. And with that comes almost the placement of WMATA presentations to us and our ability to respond in a useful way. Because some of it is very useful information, but not in a timely fashion in terms of our being able to provide, at least in my mind, as useful input as we might. And then the second thing is a bit around support, and I'm not sure how to word it to have it come out right, but we need consistent, timely support, which isn't always possible. And to me, there are two ways of addressing it, either more people that are able to support us or fewer duties for whoever is supporting us so that our things can be done in a timely fashion so that we can do our work.
What do you mean by support? To define that a little more.
Okay.
Sorry. Yeah.
The staff support.
Right.
To us in being able to get information out early enough so that we can review and think about things. For example, getting the agenda at 11:20 this morning does not allow time to do any thinking about a discussion tonight.
Sure.
And so I'm not complaining. It's more of a, if that's the reality, how
sure.
We should also demand sufficient support so that we can be effective in our duty.
And I think it goes the other way as well, that when we want to follow up on things, sometimes WMATA's own structure has kind of failed us in that there's, you know, there aren't clear channels to get that kind of feedback. And I think that's what we really hunger for. And you're right, and the leadership team has brought this up amongst ourselves at several points during the year. So it's definitely something to think about. Yeah, Patrick?
Yeah, one of the things that I know we focused on at AAC was rather than giving some of the reports at a full committee meeting, we would tend to give the reports at a subcommittee and then have the subcommittee come up with recommendations to the full committee. Two subcommittees that we have are the bus and rail subcommittee and then a metro access subcommittee, and we have some working groups off of them. But we tended to have the more full-blown presentations at the subcommittee level and then have them come up with recommendations that they would then come to the full committee with. And so I thought that was an effective thing. The other interesting, we both sort of suffer from the same thing. When we lost people last year, what we instituted was a policy so that we would have a full complement of people at the beginning of the year, but then kind of have a pool of people that were, didn't make maybe the first cut, but when we lost one or two people, we could bring these other people on board that had already been cleared, and alternates, and that worked out real well, because we tended to lose, people during the year also for various reasons, and these people were highly qualified, they just didn't make kind of the first cut, but then they came on, and I think we've done a fairly good job. So I think the idea of alternates is a good one for keeping, the rack up to a good, stable committee.
Thanks. Any public comment while we're in there? I always forget that, so I'm trying not to forget that on purpose here.
So I guess I'll direct my remarks briefly to two points. One is, as I've discussed with the RAC on a number of occasions, sort of the role of the RAC, which is, really there seems to be this tension, and there has been a shift in the past year. There seems to be this tension between the RAC acting as sort of a conciliator between the board and the riding public, and the RAC acting as an advocate for the riding public. And so, Ben, when you say that the RAC has become closer to the board, in part that's because the RAC has acted somewhat more conciliatory towards the board. And there has been an approach taken by the leadership in this past year of, how can we try and bring the board and riders closer together? And that has had the effect, unfortunately, of meaning that it's more about sort of how can we take what the board's doing and package it up so it sounds palatable, which to my mind is really more the role of WMATA Media Relations as opposed to the RAC. There hasn't been quite so much, let's stand up and fight for things that riders want. In fact, unfortunately, Ben, I was rather disappointed by your remarks in the media that came out today about things that riders are asking for being unreasonable. I mean, unreasonable or not, if that's what the riders are asking for, then it's the role of the RAC to take that back to the board and say, this is what people want. And more on the point of staff presentations, there, in addition to the issue of whether or not staff come to the RAC, sort of in time for the RAC to be able to respond usefully, I think you have to keep in mind that sometimes that seems to be fairly deliberate. In the summer of 2010, the RAC Long-Term Projects Committee was briefed on the 7000 series railcar procurement, and I don't think there are many people here. Frank was there, but unfortunately, there were a number of issues that were brought up where the RAC was told, this is already set in stone, and we're basically just back briefing you so that we can say that we briefed the RAC. It was almost as if it was engineered to cut the RAC out. And similarly, I think it was in early 2012, there was a presentation on removing payphones. And there, the staff member showed up and gave a presentation and laid out some options and said, okay, now pick one right now. You have to be open to the possibility that maybe sometimes you're being bamboozled by staff. You have to be open to the possibility that sometimes maybe these things are being engineered in such a way so that somebody can go back and say, okay, we've ticked off a box. And this is, as I said earlier about being sort of conciliatory with the board, this is something where you can push back and take a bit more adversarial tone with the board and say, instruct staff to work with the RAC in a manner that is useful, meaning come to the RAC before key decision points, not after, and come to the RAC in sufficient time. And if the RAC just wants to get staff presentations and pass that information on to the public, so be it. But otherwise, you may have to take a more aggressive tone with the board and say, we really need to be in the loop if you actually care about the writer's voice. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Actually, Fred, I saw your hand up before.
So there was I think I had three things that I'd like to suggest we think about. If the question I thought we were talking about was, what should we be doing in the next year?
Yes, it is.
So one of the things I think we should explore is requesting that the board have a senior WMATA executive be assigned as the liaison to this group. So that there is someone who in management, who is actually aware of what's going on here. It's not obvious to me that, though we get lots of people come and we get comments, often we don't get responses to our questions. And it's not obvious that there's anybody in management who regularly is required to sit here and listen to us and then go report back or whatever they do here, however management does things here.
John, of course.
Well, John does, but I don't. Yes. But John's not in management,
right.
And John doesn't. I don't seriously don't think John can walk up to the general manager and say, "Hey, no one's listening to the Riders Advisory Council." Right.
That's a good
so point. I think we should explore that, and we could send a letter to the board saying, "Hey, this is something we think would really help to improve what's going on."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It would also get at this problem, which I've also observed, is we see presentations well after they've already been stamped approved. And so I'm like thinking, that's great, but like, why don't they get feedback ahead of time, which we rarely see? Okay, so that was one thing I thought we might think about doing. The second thing that occurred to me was, and I know this is really hard for groups to do, this is the hardest thing, what I'm going to tell you, for groups to do. Focus on very few things. Like last year, we were successful really with one thing, and we did a good job. But if we had focused just on two things last year, we could have been successful. Because we spent a lot of time talking about many things, and if we just focused on two things, we could have been much more impactful. So I know that this is hard to do because it's hard to decide what two or three things you're going to want to do, but it's really important. If you want to, like, have an impact on the board, it just can't be all over the place.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, Carol.
Yeah, I'd like to, you know, just say two things. Karen sent out right around at the meeting, I think the day after the meeting where we approved the customer commitment, Karen Lynch sent out a response about how she felt about the process. And attached to that response was a kind of a proposal, kind of a project planning document or project planning process tool. And I think, unless people send it responses to her privately, I only saw two responses, one from me and I think one from Ben. And I think one of the biggest disadvantages of this group is there are 21 kind of random people. It's not like we all work for the transit industry or we have some kind of, you know, connection other than when we all walk in here. And I think it's really important that we have the opportunity to do what most groups like this have the opportunity to do, have a retreat and have an opportunity to do some getting to know one another, getting to know each other's styles, doing some goal setting, and doing exactly, because I remember, Fred, that you said this when we were struggling over what to do, and you said we should pick a few things that we could do and do them well. You said that at the beginning of last year, and I agree with your comments. But I think in order to do that, we have to go in with some structure that will allow us to do that. And there are some things that the board does that maybe we could, you know, attempt to emulate. For example, if you look at the board documents on the website, the board generally has for any upcoming meeting, they may have 2 or 3 months out what they plan for the upcoming 3 months agenda. Now, obviously, things change, and of course, they have to be, you know, poised to respond to what changes there are. But I think that if we adopt that kind of a model, and spend some front end time, in short, trying to figure out how we will approach what we do, we might be more successful.
I definitely see, Fred, your point about ability to focus and how we might be able to get some important things done. Is that working now? Okay. By focusing. But I don't know how to marry that with the concept that every day, every month, you know, WMATA is making decisions in 100 different areas, and the customers are responding on 100 different things, and if we are to advise them, I don't know how we get by how much service we're providing if we only focus on two things. And I just don't know how to reconcile that.
Okay, so I guess my answer would be, so in the last year, you're saying there were hundreds of things that we should have responded on. How many did we respond on?
Thing we were asked to respond on 100. I'm just saying there are things going on all the time, and if you only pick two things, I think we are then ignoring some things that our feedback could be helpful and warranted.
Yeah. So I guess the way I see it is, you know, I have between 12 and 24 evenings a year that I've set aside to do this. And so when you're putting work in at that level, it's not like going to work every day. It has to be for the long run. We're not here to fix things that happen every day. How 5 years from now can we make an impact so that the riders have a better experience on the buses and the trains and whatever else Metro thinks up for us to do that? And so I think we have to raise our horizon up beyond, you know, the annoyance of yesterday, though there's plenty of those. I mean, every day, we all ride the Metro, so we know that every day we could be annoyed by something. But we have to, like, get it up a little higher so that our horizon is, like, out there where we can actually impact things. We have virtually no impact. But the way we're doing it now, most of our comments are after the fact. So we have to get in front of the tidal wave and be in front of the fact. And that's why you really can't do thousands of things at 24 hours a year.
Marianne?
One of the things that keeps getting at me is how do we expand how we get riders' input and then use it. Some of it may not be our job, but there's a lot of stuff out there. Because, I mean, you know, there's the Dr. Gridlock, there are all the blogs and other things. In the conversation in Prince George's meeting, we got talking about community groups that are out there, some of which are transportation advocates and others. Is there a way on a more, I'll call it even regional basis, we have people from different counties, is there a way we could link into some groups that have thoughts and bring it in, analyze it a bit. Again, keeping within what is manageable. And Fred is right. We aren't here full-time to do things, but we would like to be. We're all here because we care, and we'd like to make a difference. And so how could we do that better using some of the many things that are out there? Could it help our job?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yes, I agree with her. You know, I've been here all year, and to me, for 2014, we really need to focus on marketing for this group, putting the word out that this group even exists. I mean, all year long, this young man and then maybe one or two other public comments have, you know, been here, and every month this group meets. And I know there was one month that something I think had happened with Metro, and I was like, oh, the place is going to be packed at tomorrow's meeting. And it was still just, you know, this young man and maybe one other person. So, and if you're on the board, you feel there's no problem if they're not coming in here to voice, you know, concerns or opinions about things. So my thing would be to really, really market the fact that it's here, that you can get your voice heard by coming to these meetings. And if the place is packed, I think it would get the board's attention and, you know, maybe you can move forward with maybe the things that you might want to focus on. But as long as there's not really a real outpouring of, you know, criticisms and things from the public, I'm not sure how much weight the group would hold for a board to think that anything's wrong. So I would just concentrate on putting things out, whether it's social media, whether it's those kind of advocate groups, to just say, we're here, the public's invited. If you're angry, come on down. You know, maybe even move the meeting to different places just to make sure that, you know, they are aware and come out and say voice their opinion.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, we're about at the end of the time. Does anyone have any other points they want to air just before we close this up? I think this has been a good discussion. I'm gonna type this up as sort of a memo, if you will, to the next leadership team, just as a way of sort of, you know, creating some continuity there. I mean, one of the other problems that we often face as the RAC is we have this sort of attention deficit disorder where we, you know, start on something, we have a great discussion, and it's, you know, it's moving towards something, and then we forget about it in about 5 seconds. So I'm going to do that in a way to try and get rid of that syndrome. Okay, so moving on to the Maryland listening session, this will be a short discussion. Because it's sort of like, you know, when a tree falls in the woods and no one's around, does it make a sound? If you hold a listening session and nobody arrives to be listened to, does it make a sound? The answer is no, it does not. Because there were actually no members of the public. Now, nope, not a single one. We talked amongst ourselves, and it was very productive, and we had a member of the board was there. So we talked with a member of the board. That was a good discussion. I will note it was very cold that night. It was also a night when the Redskins were playing, just one stop away. It was Thanksgiving week. There was these. The what? No, we had the notice was actually the same as for the Virginia listening session on this one. And John, much to his credit, went out and passed out flyers at metro stations and things and the like. The location of the meeting itself was not exactly adjacent to a metro stop. So whatever all of those factors combined may have been, the end result was that we did not get anybody to that session. So I will chalk that up to a learning experience. Again, I think we had a very good discussion with the member of the board who was there. And, you know, she had some very interesting comments for us, and we had some very interesting comments for her. So, Catherine Porter.
I'm sorry, Kathy Porter from Montgomery County.
So, I think the end result of this is for the next one, assuming there is a next one, because we didn't do one in D.C., which was supposed to be the idea, that we're going to have to find a better way of getting the word out and making sure that people were there. I think we actually did pound the pavement quite a lot in terms of trying to get those community groups and all of that to this meeting, but it didn't work for whatever reason or a combination of reasons. So we'll have to think about that more in the future. Any thoughts? Yeah, Frank.
You know, I work for a nonprofit, and we're always trying to get people to come to our programs. And one of the things that we've learned is that it's often good to co-sponsor with other groups who will do the promotion. So maybe, you know, finding the local transit advocate groups and working with them would be a way of sort of ensuring more people would show up.
That's a very good point. Yeah, Carol?
Yeah, two things. I was curious, because you all did some planning, and I would be curious to know what were you planning to do. That's one comment. And the second comment, the second comment is that I thought that James Wright made a very insightful comment, because he talked about the fact that he didn't think that particular area, Prince George's County, perhaps was as engaged, and that may have accounted for the lack of turnout. But the third thing that I was impressed with is, even though no one was there, I don't think it was, you know, I think it was a learning experience, but we also got to talk to each other, which we rarely do. And that's the other reason why I'm harping on this thing of being able to kind of lead in or start off the year with some sort of orientation where we sort of get a sense of what we're all about. So, but I'd really like to hear what the plan was, because I know you all had a little meeting after the last meeting, and you also had some sort of a teleconference. So I was curious, frankly, because if I'm involved in the D.C. one, I want to know what you all plan so I can copy it.
Yeah. Karen, you want to give a brief overview?
Well, one of the reasons why I called the why I requested a conference call, because it was still a little murky on what the purpose was, what our objectives were, and what we hope to achieve from this listening session. So what we agreed to was that it was really to hear what the public had to say. We wanted to use that opportunity to really give the public the opportunity to tell us how they felt about Metro and ways that we could help and how we could advocate for the public in those types of forums. So unfortunately, we didn't have anyone from the public show up, but again, it was a learning lesson, I think, for all of us.
Okay, any other thoughts on that? Okay, so from the less productive to the much more productive, let's talk about the meeting with the Metro Board leadership. We had our quarterly meeting, what was it, 2 weeks ago now, with the board. It was very interesting, probably the most interesting one of these that I've been to. We spent, I would say, at least half the time talking about the customer commitment, and it was fascinating. Basically, right in front of our eyes, they assumed our own roles, and they had a little debate amongst themselves about what the customer commitment should be. And I was sitting there saying, well, okay, that's Carol, and that's Marianne, and that's me. They each took on the mask of one of us in these meetings. It was hilarious to watch, actually. There were, what was it, four or five board members?
Yeah, it was Tom Downs, Kathy Hudgens, Downing, and
Alvin Nichols.
And the chief of staff, whose name I'm blanking on, Barbara
Richardson,
Lynn Barisarts, and one other person. Oh, and Lloyd and John, of course, were there, but there was one other staff person there.
Yeah. So anyway, we had a very interesting discussion about what they're going to do with the customer pledge now, and they had both our draft and the staff draft, and several of the members basically said, we like pieces of both of these, and we think there are pieces missing from both of these. So at the committee level, which I think is going to be tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken, right, they're going to try to pick out the pieces that they like, meld the two together, and figure out where the board's going to go with this. And I think it's going to be a really interesting discussion, because they're clearly on various camps within the board, even just for that we saw there, about where they will go. And they had the same debates that we had. Should it be specific? Should it be general? Should it be readable? Should it be detail-oriented? You know, how broad should it be? All that sort of thing. They hashed it out right in front of our eyes, and it was really funny to watch. And there were some pretty passionate displays of emotion, I would say, as far as board members go, on this sort of thing. So I'm, for one, am very curious to see what the board comes up with in the end. I think it's going to be useful. One thing that they did talk about a little bit, which I think is great, is, I mean, I think they're actually taking this to another level from where we had it even. And they were talking about, all right, if we're going to have this, we have to live up to it. In order to live up to it, we have to change Metro's sort of consumer culture, if you will, which is exactly where we were going with this thing from the very beginning. And so clearly they get it. And it's going to result, I think, in a much larger sort of soul searching, if you will, about sort of where Metro is going, the metrics that Metro uses to measure its performance, the culture of how sort of staff interact with customers, everything. Because in the end, this is going to be something that Metro is going to put out there. It's going to have to, you know, be held accountable for. And that's really the sort of lens that they were approaching it from. So again, you know, kudos to everybody who worked on that document, because it's clearly, it will have an impact. Yeah, please.
One of the things I heard was something we'd also talked about was from, I think Mr. Downey was pushing it a great deal, and I think he got some consensus, was that his end goal, I believe, was to have two things come out of it. One, a very brief thing that can be in big, big print on the wall, and something else that's more detailed that goes in, says what that first one meant. You know, that something that the summary and the detail. And I think that kind of, in a way, then captures what both sides of the argument we're going for. Yeah. And
but some of the other members of the board didn't think that was a good
idea
at all.
Oh, is that right? Yeah, I was thinking maybe I liked his idea, so I thought they had consensus.
Carol, any other thoughts?
No, I think that, you know, however we got to it, and it might not have been the most efficient way of doing it, this is made our mark because, first of all, at the meeting, which I think one of us filled in for Ben in terms of presenting, they had actually read it. They had actually read the pledge document, and it was obvious in their meeting because they had notes that they were going to pass on to, what in addition to what they said, they had notes they planned to pass on to Catherine Hudgens. So I think they're really engaged, and I think that they felt, I mean, I really felt that in many ways they were sort of saying that the work that we had done was on par with what the staff had done in terms of neither one was exactly perfect, aha, I've got it, but, you know, that they were willing to work on it. So they were definitely engaged, gave us credit for kicking it off, et cetera. So I think good things are going to come out of that process.
If you all would indulge me.
Please.
I plan to be there, by the way, if I can get up.
This is what you all proposed, which the board is actually taking up tomorrow. This is how it's going to be used. Just a quick share. I mean, I can send out the full document to you, and I'm incredibly willing to take you up for it. We'll become part of our customer care program that is rolling out.
Just out of curiosity, is that committee session going to be an open session or executive session?
It's an open session.
No, it's an open session.
Yeah. I mean, if it's posted, it's going to be an open session tomorrow. And the board, actually, with the board being...
No, I'm definitely interested in coming to see them.
Is both.
Yeah. And I'm glad you put that on the board because Barbara Richardson, I think it was, came up with the idea that we ought to engage employees. And that was also like channeling some of the meetings we had, Lorraine and Mary Ann, where we were talking about how to get employees involved. Because that was one of the points they were making is that the face of Metro are their employees. And if you can't get them in, you know, so there was discussion about the importance of rolling this out in a timely manner sooner rather than later. And I think there were a couple of board members that were very much into that versus trying to get the whole world to buy in, including employees. I mean, there's a risk to be taken if you basically get the document together and then present it to the employees without any opportunity for genuine, you know, feedback response on their part. So, I mean, I think this is going to be an interesting process, and hopefully now that this is out there, I think there's going to be pressure on them to get it done in a timely manner. It may not be our time frame, but I think it's not going to be a year-long thing. I don't think there was any stomach for dragging it out.
Yeah. Okay, so that's sort of one half of the board review. The other half that I want to cover is this document that you should have in front of you, the media relations proposal. So this came at the very end of the board meeting, as in, like, we're all about to leave, last 5 minutes kind of end.
Well, we ran out of
time. We also ran out of time. Yes.
But they had added it to the agenda. So
yes, they had added this to the agenda. So for those who don't remember, earlier in the year, we received some comments from the Metro media relations people saying, if you do speak to the media, please give us a heads up before, just so we'll know sort of what's coming down the pipeline so we can plan, and we all agree to that. This document here takes it several steps further, basically asking us to clear prior to talking to the media any sort of interactions with them, to receive some talking points from Metro on these sort of things, and there's sort of a protocol, as you can see here, for how we would interact with the media. I can pretend to be neutral here, but I'm totally not going to be. I think this is a bad idea. First of all, I think it's fairly internally inconsistent in that it's talking, you know, it cites the bylaws, which talk about representing Metro's position. Well, we don't work for Metro, and we never will work for Metro, probably most of us. So we don't automatically represent Metro's opinion. But I also just kind of bristle at the very idea of having to clear my comments on behalf of riders with Metro Public Relations. I think that's not why I joined the RAC. I don't think that's why anybody here joined the RAC. And just to be a little more fair and balanced, I'll give the opposite perspective, which is that the RAC is an outlet of the board. And the way this was presented to us was, if you're an, you know, if you're a part of the board, then we want the board writ large to speak with one voice. And what Metro board members currently do is exactly this. They go back to Metro Public Relations before they have any contact with members of the media. So, you know, the point has been raised that if we are, in fact, part of the board, then we should abide by their particular guidelines. I don't buy that exactly. I think we are technically, yes, we are related to the board, but we are also related to the riding public, and that is the context in which we would ever speak to the media. So anyway, that is my personal perspective on it. I would like to hold a vote on this, whether we are going to accept this or not. If we do accept it, I think that's fine, majority rules. If not, I think we would go back to WMATA staff and the public relations people and maybe start a dialogue on exactly what prompted this, which I'm not exactly sure. I did not have, they did not offer any history on that. And generally why this is coming about and sort of what their expectation is to try and get something a little more concrete than this. So that is by way of introducing this topic for general discussion. So Lorraine, let's just start with you.
Yes, when I read this, I can see both ends of the, like you, I can see both ends of it. But my biggest thing is, how is the Office of Media Relations expect us to tell them prior, when probably I have no idea if they're going to come and ask me about anything? That would mean that if somebody from whatever asked me a question, I say, oh, I'm sorry, I can't answer. I have to talk to them first, and then I'll let you know. That is the most ridiculous thing, and that would even be, I think it would be more prejudicial to the organization as a whole, to the council, if we do that. Oh, no, I have to clear it with them before I can answer you. I mean, I don't know, the prior point of it is the one that sort of blows my mind.
Yeah. Frank?
My initial response to this is negative.
My initial response to this is negative, but I also think I have a lot of questions about it. Who presented this? Why was it presented? What?
Lynn Bowersox presented it to us. The why was not discussed.
Why didn't she come and make a present?
Tom Downs handed it out directly. As I recall, Tom, the chair, we were having a wonderful meeting at the end of the, I mean, and this was not unwonderful, but the chair of the board handed this out to us at the end of the meeting.
Why wasn't this a presentation at, why didn't they come and present this at the RAC? You know, and I could speak from my own experience that when I was the chair, I felt very reluctant to speak to the media on behalf of the RAC on something that we had not discussed. And I understand that, but I felt that my responsibility was to the RAC and not to the WMATA board. And I think that that's, I don't think that that's reflected in this policy, and I think the
policy actually is in the opposite direction.
Barbara, you had a comment on that?
Well, part of it was just answers to a couple of the questions raised. I think in terms of the context, as Ben mentioned, it was we were having people escorting us out of the room because we had to get out because there was another meeting. I think we could have eventually found out where it came from and all that, but it just wasn't something that happened that day. The other is, I do want to bring a distinction, which may not make you feel any better about it, but there was a distinction made in the first two bullets of when you get an inquiry that comes out of, you know, like email, telephone, versus if you're at a function, let's say a bus hearing, and somebody comes to you and asks you a question about that bus hearing. They're not asking you to say, I'm sorry, I can't talk to you until I talk to media. That's something where, you know, if you're giving a response representing the RAC, not MoMATA, on that topic, you just notify afterwards, by the way, I talked to the media.
If you read the first bullet here, it does say, if a WMATA RAC member receives an inquiry in where the WMATA RAC member is speaking on or commenting on matters under discussion by the RAC or on behalf of the RAC, then they have to do it prior. So actually that is a scenario where you would have to go back and get prior consent.
But not if it's at some meeting that you're at, which is typically at least.
But at the same time, the previous, yeah, it's internally it's internally inconsistent.
I didn't see it that way. Okay.
So, anyway, Marianne.
I think I'm much like everyone else. To me, the point that was in what we agreed to before, which is, we are RAC members. Personally, I'm not in RAC leadership. I can answer. I'm a RAC member. I believe if I were to respond to a media person, it's my duty to say I don't represent WMATA. I'm a member of the RAC, but I'm not representing RAC in responding to you. And this is what I think.
Personal opinion.
If you want to know about the RAC, we have a designated spokesperson, the chair of the RAC. And I believe the chair of the RAC should be able to speak for what the RAC is dealing with in public. To me, that first point might, if it sort of said that, you get something from the media and you respond in writing that says, understand this is what you're getting. I'm not WMATA, don't represent them, da-da-da-da. Either copy the media people if they want to, or after you've just said that and you're going forward, we've already said that we would let WMATA know that we are having a discussion. But I have a problem with.
Fred?
So the first, I have several, so maybe always I'm not on the same page. So the first thing is, this to me strikes me as a wonderful opportunity, which is not to just send it back and say no, but actually redraft it and send it back to something that we could actually live with, which would be not, because what bothered me about it was like, what's the scope? Well, you know, I'm also interested in Route 66. Can I talk to the press about that? I mean, where does the scope end here, you know? But I think that this is a great opportunity for us to just take this document and take the few words in it that we like, and draft a better document. I think it's a good idea for us to have some kind of RAC policy that says, here's how we communicate with the media, and here's what's in scope, what's out of scope. All of what people have said here, I think, would make a wonderful little half-page thing.
That sounds like a motion to me.
I would make that a motion, yeah.
Okay, well, let's hear it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I like that idea, Fred. But before you said it, I was I'm going to say what I was also thinking of is that, and this isn't opposed to your idea, that I really do think there has to be some open discussion of this at a RAC meeting. I mean, to me, this just smacks of everything that we always say is wrong with WMATA, that they come with a completed project and asking us to rubber stamp it. I I agree that I think Fred's idea is a good one, but I think it has to be done after there's some sort of public airing of this.
So
so that our questions could be answered, so that they have a chance to explain themselves. But to me, this is like the thief in the night, you know, that and I don't know if that was their intention or not or what, but the fact that it comes completely done asking for our approval is just problematic.
So Frank, is your thought then, and I think this is where you're going, you want this in some kind of context, so you want someone from WMATA to be here to explain what this is all about so that we can ask questions. That's kind of what you're going with, where you're going
right.
with it?
And then, okay. And then I agree with Fred, and then yeah. we could, that would give us, I think that would give us a better chance, a better opportunity to craft something that we want, or that we feel we can live with.
Fred, does that sound like...
Yeah, no, I think actually Frank's idea is way better. And but I mean, I think it ought to be organic. I mean, we need to have a hearing where they come and explain what the issues are, because we don't know. And then, you know, let us put together what we think it'll either look like.
Okay. Just to sort of form this more into a motion-y kind of thing, are we thinking about this as a committee discussion, or are we thinking about this as a full RAC discussion?
I don't know what committee it would be part of.
Yeah, I think it's governance, which we said originally was the sort of the leadership team, and anybody else who wanted to. Yeah. I'm sorry. Well, anyone else? It. Yeah. But
it sounds like there's enough interest that it should be, that it affects us all, really.
Let me just say this. Barbara was there and Ben, so we may not be in agreement, because you know, if you're in a meeting and you're sitting around and things are happening real quick, we may not be of the same mind. I didn't get the impression, and I'm very into choreography of meetings, because it was Tom Downs who handed it to us, not a staff person. And as I recall, and I don't have my notes to say exactly what he said, I don't think I wrote it down, I didn't get the impression that he was asking us to do this, but I might have over interpreted what was going on.
What do you think? You say you don't think he was asking us. Yes.
Yes.
This is the policy.
No, I think he was the way he couched it. Okay. I think he was saying that this is the policy. And I don't think it was coincidental that he handed it out, not any staff person, that he explicitly excluded John, of course, who was away during that period of time. And one of the points he made when he spoke up was that he didn't think it was fair for John to serve as a media relations person in his spare time, and that's why he wanted that was his basis for asking that the contact that we make contact directly with the media relations office. So all I'm saying, and I'm not taking sides at this point, is I didn't get the impression that it was a request, but I may be wrong.
There's a point opinion to that. And just to give people more of the dynamics in the room, I was very noncommittal about responding to that for that very reason.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, reading this for the first time, I had many of the same concerns that we've sort of heard tonight. So I basically said we would take this under advisement and did not accept it out of hand. So he may have been telling, but I was not, and I think we were not accepting at face value at that point.
I have a question, because this is already dated as something that is approved November 21st, 2013. This was
right,
like a couple of weeks ago.
That's when it was presented to us.
To you, okay.
Yeah.
So this is already a fact, because it already says protocol for. So this, they have already established this.
Well,
there is
written,
no question.
Has
they? Has, and since it was Downs, the way I look at it is, he already read it and approved this.
Yep.
But notice it has no signature.
That,
yeah,
I know. That's
yes.
That. This is what sort of.
Very Machiavellian.
So what, is this supposed to be attached to some other document? Is it attached to the...
this is it.
So, like, what is it? So I don't understand how this works. Is there... The governing document for the RAC is...
the bylaws.
Is the bylaws. And so is this an amendment to the bylaws?
No, he cites the bylaws.
He cites the bylaws saying that this is consistent with the bylaws, and says it's consistent with the Writers Advisory Council bylaws. Says no member of the Writers Council should be seen as representing any position of Metro to the public. So, I mean, it's not the same information, but it's
right. Of course, this is talking about representing the RAC, which is a very different topic and not covered in the bylaws. But
isn't one of our work products for this year have to be to review and amend the bylaws?
It is true.
So, I mean, see, this is like multiple opportunities here. I think it would be fair to ask them and say, look, we're looking at the bylaws. We want to talk about this.
Yeah. John, I believe you had something to say. Sorry. Skipped over you there.
I think made the point, but all I was going to say is I don't think there was a request for the RAC's input or approval to this policy. I think it was, this is the chair of your appointing body, and here's the policy. So that's, I think Carol said it just as well as I could have. That's all. I just wanted to make sure that there was clarity there.
That's a good clarification.
And just another ounce of context, I do have my notes from that meeting, and the two things I wrote down were his point of view he expressed was that media likes to drive wedges between groups, and I think that's some small part of the history of this, thinking that they would try to have us speak, drive a wedge between us and the board. But the other was, it says, say if the protocol language is an issue. Not the principle necessarily, but the language. So there was that opening. It was a small opening.
Okay. Yeah, Marianne?
I guess I don't know the definition of protocol, but to me that's not the same as policy. So given that this is a random piece of paper once it gets out, I continue to agree that this is something that would be useful to clarify to something that is workable for people.
Okay. So, Fred, do you want to make a motion now on to sort of sum up where we're going, just so we can have a concrete thing that a tasking for ourselves? Okay, so the motion on the floor, just to summarize that, is yes, that we meet at the committee or RAC as a whole level, whichever the leadership team deems appropriate, to review the media policy in the context of the bylaws, and that we invite Metro staff to provide some context for that discussion. Is that a fair summary?
His lead was the bylaws, and then the first, we're going to review the bylaws. Right. I think that's the key.
I see.
The
okay.
Key counter Machiavellian.
Okay, so. All right. So that we will conduct a bylaw review and invite Metro staff. Okay. 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 Is there a second? Okay. Any debate on this? Yes. Fair enough. All right. So are we ready to vote, everybody? Oh, yes. Karen.
In addition, I also believe we should draft our own media policy.
Yeah. I think that's the eventual goal.
I didn't
that this
hear
is
that
the first
part,
step.
But
so it was kind of embedded, I think, in what I suggested.
Okay.
This is really a point of information. We'll get into with the review of the bylaws. I mean, our bylaws must be approved by the board,
Are people aware of that? Okay.
Yeah.
I just wanted to ask a question. You said, I think, to have someone from Metro staff. Is that the staff and not the board, or does it matter? Yeah.
I don't think it's
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. If necessary, I mean, if they feel it's necessary to bring the board with them,
yeah.
Then
okay.
I think they would do that.
Okay.
No, it's a good clarification. Okay. Any further debate on this? All right, let's move to a vote then. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? One abstention? Thank you. All right, that motion passes.
I have one question. I think the key now is, what are we going to do between now and then? Are we going to follow this protocol, or are we going to do what's in our current bylaws? Because I think that's a critical question.
Are they in conflict?
They are in conflict.
They are in conflict.
Yeah.
Well, then how?
I've kind of voted with my feet already, as I already appeared on NPR this morning after this was made apparent to me. But
did you?
I sure did.
Oh, wait, what did you say? Do I have to come and listen to us?
Yeah. I'm assuming the audio is online. I didn't actually hear it. Yeah, Marianne?
I don't think it's in conflict. I think we are concerned about the degree of specificity that is very restrictive. The bylaws just say that we shouldn't be seen as representing any position of Metro to the general public.
Right. And we consider, and we continue to abide by that, but the more specific parts of here.
Of the how.
Yeah,
is
not yet
concerned.
Not yet in effect from our perspective.
There's just one thing in reading I'm interested in, if anybody has. It says, conforms with the process used by the WMATA Board of Directors. Does the Board of Directors have a protocol in their dealing with the media that might give us some more of a context?
That's a good question. John, any? But do they have a protocol written out like this one? If that would be helpful, that's a very good point. Do we need to hold a vote on this, on the sort of effectiveness? Yeah, Karen?
I just want to add as well that this protocol is really just a piece of paper. It's not signed. When was it approved? Who approved it? I really think we need... I think it would change it for me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a blank
it's
piece
a memo,
of paper.
It's not,
exactly.
Yeah.
It's just...
It's not a directive,
right.
Necessarily.
Exactly.
Maybe we can have a sense of the RAC vote, if that makes sense, as to whether we consider this to be in effect currently.
Could I make a different suggestion?
Sense? Yeah, please.
Could we table item number 6 discussion until we can... Because we're not ready to actually understand everything there is to know on what you just...
You mean... Number seven, the...
No. Number seven, I'm sorry. I would like to move that we table this discussion because we're missing information so that we can give clear guidance to the RAC.
A sage suggestion. Okay. All right, so the motion on the table is that we table this discussion until a set time or until the time that the RAC picks it up again?
Well, until the next meeting, if you have information by then.
Okay, so let's say till the January meeting.
Yeah.
And when we will have a full
contingent as well.
And again, keep in mind that I believe that the meeting that we had on November the 12th, is that right? 21st was a makeup for the quarterly meeting that should have taken place in September. So we are going, the RAC leadership team is scheduled to meet again with the board in a few weeks, December the 19th. My suggestion would be that Ben gather these clarifying questions, and obviously that's the time for us to have asked for some clarification of what this document really is, since we didn't have a chance to fully discuss it or understand it, et cetera. That to me would be sensible for us for us to take it up at that meeting, unless people here have strong objections to that.
At the same time, I kind of think that this is something that affects the full RAC that I think it really does deserve a full RAC discussion. I see your point, and I think we can
mention or request that. At
yes, yeah, I think we can send the request, but I don't think that I think we should have the discussion here.
Oh no, I'm not precluding that we have a discussion in January, but it seems to me that if we get more, that since we are going to meet with them on December the 19th, that would be an ideal opportunity to get further information.
Sure.
And by the way, Ben did exactly what he described that he did, in my view, which is to be noncommittal about, you know, he never acknowledged what this was or any that it was anything in particular. So, but I think as a practical, pragmatic measure, we should at least be prepared to say, you know, presented it to the RAC. There are questions we're going to do what was said in the motion just passed, you know, to schedule a time to have further discussion. And that will hopefully draw perhaps more clarification about just what this really is.
Okay, so the motion on the floor is to table this discussion until the January meeting, at which point we would sort of take it up again. It's in parallel to that. Is there a second to that motion, by the way?
Second.
Seconded by Carol, thank you. Any debate on this motion to table? Oh, you're right. Good point. All right, so let's move directly to a vote then. All those in favor of tabling this motion till the January meeting, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, the motion passes. Thank you. All right, on to number 8, RAC business. The elections will be held in January. Those who are interested in running, there's sort of a tradition on the RAC that you publish sort of, okay, there we go. So the lovely Carol here is passing out an excerpt from the bylaws about.
No, it's not an excerpt from the bylaws. The bylaws, everybody would have my interpretation of the bylaws.
Oh, okay, even better. So as mentioned here, it is customary, although not in the bylaws, that those who are interested in running for offices usually circulate by email a sort of statement of intent, if you will, a platform to the rest of the RAC saying, I'm interested in running for chair, vice chair, one of the district vice chair positions. This is what I want to do. This is why I'm the best candidate, et cetera. So that usually happens after the new RAC members have joined us. So sometime between when the board will meet on Thursday and our January meeting is usually when those are sent out. Carol, any other comments on that?
Right. Patrick, I apologize. I will send this to you right after this evening.
Board meets on the full board doesn't meet this Thursday, right? It's the 19th. Right. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Since I was going to not be there.
Sorry, Carol?
No, I mean, I think everybody can read. There are 4 officers, a chair and 3 vice chairs. The 2 at-large RAC members are considered for their home communities. I guess the key thing is all offices come to an end at the end of this meeting, so the elections would be held usually at the first meeting in January. Though the election can be deferred by 2/3 vote of all present, provided there's a quorum. And officers can be reelected for up to 3 one-year terms. And and Ben's already covered the business with the nominating statement.
Right. And if the election is postponed, then the current chair actually stays on until the new one is elected.
Right, right. And but I think the key thing that I wanted to bring to everybody's attention is I think this is why we need a bylaws change, is because newly appointed members may run for office and vote for offices, meaning that, in effect, somebody comes in the door and says, hello, my name is so-and-so, and
vote for me.
They are entitled to a vote. And there are other organizations where this happens, but I just think we should be aware of that.
Okay. Any discussions, thoughts on the RAC elections?
I just want to say, while it's traditional, or has been traditional, for people to circulate a statement, that doesn't preclude people from nominating others at the meeting itself and allowing, and then allow, there would be time for people to make a statement at that point as well, an oral statement.
Right, right. That's I said it's not required.
Yeah. And self-nomination is also allowed. So,
is there a maximum amount of money you can spend on the campaign?
Not that I'm aware. So,
it's your money.
Yeah. Exactly. If you feel that it's really worth it to secure a position on the rack, now, by all means.
Now, let me ask you this, and I thought it was in the bylaws, and it's not. I know in the past, in some instances, let's say if you want to run for vice chair of Maryland or vice chair of the district, it's usually I thought that we usually had a custom, but not in the bylaws, of having a person second your nomination from that jurisdiction. Is that something I made up? Oh, okay. Thank you.
Right. It may be it may be a tradition, but it is not a requirement.
Okay.
Okay. Any other thoughts? All right. And then the bylaws review, it looks like we're going to be starting that in the new year, probably as part of the committee process. So be ready for that. We already have something on the agenda to talk about in the bylaws review, so that will take on new urgency. Mm-hmm. Any other discussion on that before I move on?
And the other thing is that, you know, that even though I was concentrating on the elections, the committee structure sort of ends with this meeting and it can be reconstituted by the chair. So that's all that is in the bylaws.
Okay. So moving on to number 9 here, the January meeting schedule. The first Wednesday is New Year's Day. Is that that's correct? So our first meeting would be on the 8th? Okay. And we do we need to officially change that, or is that automatically there because
it's
a holiday?
You have to do something.
All right. I'm going to move straight to a vote, slashing through parliamentary procedure. Everyone in favor of changing that to the 9th, or the 8th, sorry? Please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Thank you very much. Okay. So last year, I believe we did a little meet and greet before the meeting. Would we be able to do that this year as well? Just to meet up with the new members? So the leadership team will huddle and give you some idea about when that's going to happen, probably just right before this meeting. And we'll also start to arrange for some of the orientation sessions for the new members. That's always a priority in the new year. So anything else on that? Any other questions about how January is going to work? Yeah. For the orientation? Yes, absolutely.
And I am really a fan of having the I think we need to have more than just John put together the orientation. I think it would be very helpful to have members of various tenures put together, you know, like, you know, what you wish you knew, you know, and maybe to have a little work group of maybe no more than 3 people work with John to put together an orientation. I think it should be for everyone, not just new people. So that we all start, that's another way of us kind of trying to start out on the same page.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to get a lot of new members, probably representing 40% to more of the rank.
Yeah.
So they have a range of dates, and then once those people get appointed in 2 weeks, then we're fine. I don't want to set anything in stone.
Right, agreed.
Okay. Yeah, so if people can send those things off to John in email, and I think it's something that we can sort of ponder and then send along. I will definitely send on some of my thoughts.
In the interest of advanced planning, can we clarify the meet and greet? We're talking about maybe instead of, well, we'd still have our meeting at 6:30 on the 8th, but we might get together at 5:30 or something like that.
Yes.
So in case that's a challenge for people, if you can plan ahead for that, would be great.
I think 5:30 is a good time.
Yeah.
Does that work for everybody?
We may not be able to make it at 5:30.
But sure. We can float in.
But we can keep it float. Yeah. 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 But, definitely.
But our odds are better if they plan ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Any other discussion on this before we move on? Seeing none, straight to open mic. Thoughts from the public, from members of the RAC? Last chance in the year 2013. Yes, please. Yeah, come on. But you found us on the website, in other words. Okay.
It was hard, but I found it.
But you found it, yeah.
Well, my comment is that I live, right on the corner of 7th and 5th Avenue. That's where the railroad is going.
Yeah.
And I take the entrance to get home. And on Friday and Saturday night, when I like to go out and hang out with the other side of the city, it's really hard to get back home to that side by cab. And it's really hard to get a cab. I usually go to Union Station to get a cab, and I went there and made it get a cab one night. And I literally was there for an hour, 12 cabs over there. So I would really love it if the M6, before Friday and Saturday night, to kind of keep moving until 3, because I think it's time the metro station closes. And M6 does a loop from the gas station and goes down and comes back. It would be really great if it runs for 3, so I can go to metro 2.
Okay. It may not be exactly what you want to hear, but it's some of what you want to hear, I think. Right before this meeting, I was in a Metro focus group, and we were talking about that exact issue. Night service, how it's going to work, how the buses are going to happen, where people actually need to get to at night. And the guy gave me his card. I will send that to him in an email tomorrow. All right. So it's something that they're already pursuing, but they are looking for feedback on sort of certain lines. So I will send that along.
Awesome.
Yes.
There's a problem with you do a comment on the Metro website, they give you a ticket or a receipt or something to say, hey, you did it. But
yeah.
I have receipts on my AOL account from maybe a year ago. I don't ever get back to
you
about it. I have to stop putting it in the
Maybe we can follow up. Can you spell your name or maybe leave it with me after the end of the meeting? Okay.
Right. Thank you. Thanks for coming.
Yeah. And the other thing I would suggest is take the names and numbers of the cabs and file complaints with the Taxi Cab Commission and Amtrak Dispatch, because they have an Amtrak. The last time I rode the train, they have an Amtrak dispatcher.
All right. Anything else for open mic? Seeing none, let's adjourn. Thank you very much. Yes, Happy New Year.
Hey, Ben.